BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that's all hockey. The Shaw's Star Market Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers.
Presented by Shaw's and Star Market. Download the Shaw's app or Star Market app and save today. Also brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services, Sports Etc., Devlin Solar, and Mass General Brigham.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in to another edition of the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston here in our Town Fair Tire studios once again this week. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers are on the road. They will be joining us from Philadelphia coming up later on in the hour. We are happy to be joined in studio for the full two this week by Billy Jaffe of NESN, NHL Network, the Morning Brew podcast.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, happy, thrilled.
There's still hockey in the world, right?
There's a lot of hockey.
Just doesn't happen around here very often.
Spent the week at NHL Network talking about other hockey, other NHL action. Missed, you know. Listen, I know we want to gripe about it, and rightfully so. Schedule, we've said this all along, sucks. It's done, though, now. So let's everybody get it out of your system, because starting now, you're back at it, and you know you're going to get your ass kicked coming up. The worst part is you're getting your ass kicked in March and April.
Yes.
And, okay, you can gripe about it now, but you're griping about the future. Let's not do that. Let's talk about the present. Yes, it stinks. And you know what? I think tonight will be a tough game because they've been off, and they'll be excited to play. It's going to be like, you know, season opener again. But it's going to be tough because Philadelphia's been playing regularly.
You know, I heard, and unfortunately stole my point, because I was sitting there thinking about it yesterday, and I heard a caller to Felger and Maz make the point before I got to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bruins have played fewer games in the last 6 days than the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's how ridiculous this is. And they've had, you know, it's like you've got the Olympic break built in where everybody's going to be off for 3 weeks, right? You've also had these other breaks in this early part of the season. I'm looking at the standings yesterday. They've got 6 games in hand on the Detroit Red Wings, who are in front of them in the standings right now. They've got 5 games in hand on the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is all going to be great when you, hopefully, when you're making a push for the playoffs later on this year.
Yeah.
But you're going to
win those games.
You're going to have to win those games, and you're going to be really busy while you're trying to win those games.
Right. So, and, you know, you do your best to take away every excuse you can, right? Brian Burke, I remember telling me that in the 2007 season when Anaheim won the Stanley Cup. He said, we did everything in our power to take away any excuse from these players. Lou Lamoriello's done that for years with his teams and players. So now the Bruins, I mean, they have a quote-unquote built-in excuse. But if you're already thinking about that, hypothetically speaking, you're screwed, RJ. So don't. Go what's in front of you. Go with what is. I know it's an impediment, so to speak. Hopefully you build up in the sense of, you know, coming out. Now you're healthy again. You know, everybody's gotten rest in theory. In theory, Craig Smith, after missing those couple of games, and that should be back. And let's hope he's healthy so he can get going. Let's, you know, Nick Foligno played a few after missing a few or a while with the upper body injury. Let's hope he's real. He should be good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to find the positives in a crappy schedule situation, but if you lament it too much, you're now focusing on the wrong thing.
And I think that's what Bruce Cassidy did the other day, too, when he was asked about it. He's like, you know what? Yeah, it is. And you're hearing a lot of the players kind of given the, it is what it is. You know, we'd like to be playing more, but there's not a lot we can do about it. But specifically talking about the game today against Philadelphia, he said, you know, look, we're going to be very well rested. He said, we've had a good week of practice. The guys have been working hard. It's a good mood on the ice. Everybody's, you know, right. everybody's done what they needed to do. They get a little bit of time off this week. They got a chance to go out and enjoy the nice weather that we had on Thursday. But I felt like, you know, Bruce Cassidy was kind of sending the message to his team that, yeah, we understand this is not ideal, but right. You better show up and be ready to play tonight.
Listen, yes. And they should. And they remember last time they played Philly, they had a home game opener against Dallas. They had a bunch of, what was it, 4 days off again? 4 or 5 days off.
Right.
And they stunk against Philly. They were sloppy as heck. So I'm hoping that we don't see repeat of that. I'm hoping they learn their lesson from that. And again, that was early. It was literally game two in Philly. I think that was their fourth game. At least, I think that was there. So they had that repetition that you get from playing, and the Bruins didn't have it. Let's just hope the Bruins don't. Let's hope, because if they come out and flounder around tonight, yeah, you can use it as an excuse, but now, you know, you can't. You just can't. So let's hope that their sharpness is there, mentally, physically. You know, look, when we do a post season, breakdown. One of the things I'd love to find out is how the NHL looked at this and said, this makes sense. But that's after the fact.
Mm.
Right now, that doesn't matter. You can go, again, you can gripe about it, but right now it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, talk radio can talk about it, but who cares? But I'd love to find out why. If only for my own curiosity, because I know the schedule maker. Now, it's not just him, obviously, but he works his ass off, by the way.
It's got to be a brutal
right,
job.
But I would love to hear, how did this happen?
Yeah. Well, one of the most frustrating parts for me as a fan of this team is they had a really good weekend last week. Like, they got their stuff together a little bit, right? Now, it wasn't against exactly the iron of the league,
They did what they had to do.
They needed two wins last weekend, and they went out and they got two wins last weekend.
Yeah.
And so you like to be able to build a little bit of momentum off of that, and that's when you hit this roadblock of having to take the entire week off. That's the frustrating part of it to me. But let's go back to those two games last weekend. What did you see in those games? You know, going in, we sat here last Saturday, we talked to you on the phone last Saturday. Everybody was kind of wondering, like, what's going on? Why is this team not finding its stride? Why are they not performing up to expectations? And then 5-2 over the Devils, 5-2 over Montreal, and it's like, okay, things are back where they need to be, right? They have found what they were looking for.
In theory, let's hope. You know, look, Jersey's not a bad team, and so I was very happy with that game, especially the speed that Jersey can generate, that they can play with, the style that they play, especially utilizing a system in their own zone that, when effective, can be very difficult for teams to defend against, especially giving up the breakaways and stuff against them. And the Bruins did a real nice job being above the puck, moving side to side. But really what I think the thing I took out of last weekend was the beautiful simplification of the Bruins game in many ways, especially against Montreal. You know, they got pucks and bodies to the net. First thing they did is they got bodies. Bodies then bring the pucks. Pucks then bring rebounds. And the Bruins took advantage of a team, especially in Montreal, that doesn't exactly cover net front that well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bruins said, thank you. Okay, we're gonna we're not going to give that up. We're going to work harder. And they did. So I look at both those games, and we start to see a little bit of depth scoring. Haula gets a goal. You had Coyle that had a few. You had McAvoy that had a monster night on Sunday, the two of them. So we call that secondary scoring. We have talked and rightfully lamented about the dearth of production from the second and third line, the middle six. Saw more of that, which was nice. I call it comforting. You know, it's temporary in the sense of you got to do it again now. But that was nice. So what did I see out of them? I saw a team that got their legs after, was it a first period? They were okay against Jersey. I'm having even a hard time remembering all of it. I know Hollis scored. I know Marshy's had a couple in that game. That was the game that Bernier started, which, by the way, surprised me. I would have thought Mackenzie Blackwood, even though they were playing the Rangers the next night,
right.
Blackwood's numbers against the Bruins, outstanding. Anyway, not their coach, Lindy Ruff is. But the Bruins went at them. And then they did that against, they did the same thing against Montreal. Once they got going against Montreal and they said, okay, They took it over, and that was it. And it got a little physical, which was nice. And sometimes you need to be dragged into the battle, into the fight, so to speak. So a lot of good stuff there. Now, let's see. I know we're going to talk about the lines. Nick Foligno looks to be staying with Charlie mm-hmm. Coyle and Hall, and he should for now. Is he a regular second liner? No, but I, you know, the Bruins, when it's all said and done, they've got a middle six, I think. And then they've got a bottom six. I mean, you know, Coach Togler, you know, Bruce Cassidy is, you know, he loves to move him around. And so do a lot of other coaches. But Bruce always uses the word toggle. That's why I'm having fun mm-hmm. with it. And I think that, you know, he's got to figure out. But the fourth line overall, led by Tomáš Nosek, I find has been very good. I got no issue with Nosek's game. He's been as advertised, not even a little bit more. It's that middle six that needs to continue.
Well, we will talk about that, and Craig Smith getting back into the lineup. No points so far this year. He's been dealing with a nagging injury. The long layoff should help him and hopefully get him back to 100%. They need him to start producing, We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk about the D pairings as Bruce Cassidy sat Mike Riley last weekend for mm-hmm. both games. Mm-hmm. Now he's getting back in the lineup. They're moving Zboril over to the right side tonight, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we'll check in with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers over the next couple of segments down in Philadelphia where they prepare for the Bruins and Flyers tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And of course, we will get to your calls coming up in a bit at 617-779-0985. Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe with you on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
If you really love hockey, this is your show.
They score!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe back here on Ruben. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Call that. I mean, it's a nice little bump. Intro, I like it. The grooving, you know? Saturday
little
morning
funk
groove.
On a Saturday
a little,
morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning funk.
Speaking of funk, mm-hmm. we welcome in Judd Surratt.
Oh.
The funkiest of the bunch.
Funky, cold Surratt.
Judd Surratt joining us from down in Philadelphia where the Bruins take on the Flyers tonight.
I knew
tonight.
Judd in
Good
college.
Morning, Judd.
He was funky in college. I knew him there. I won't bring any of those stories up, buddy.
Oh, those were great days. You guys listened to some Parliament this morning?
I don't know who. Was that Parliament?
Yes.
Oh, see,
come
I'm
on,
not
Billy.
Cool. I'm not cool. This is my kids.
Not nearly as funky as Judd. Judd knew.
I knew Judd, and Judd knew me with full heads of hair.
How you been, Judd? You keeping yourself busy all week?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? I don't even know what to do with myself. It was like, you know, since we had this crazy break and then looking ahead at the Bruins schedule, because I don't think if you look ahead up until before the Olympic break, I don't think the Bruins have a sequence of time between games where it's any more than 2 days between games. And I only think that they have that a few times. So it is really going to heat up. So for me, everything from raking leaves to fixing the car to taking the bike in for a tune-up, let me tell you, the to-do list was long, to try and take care of this, because after this break, it's going to be really hectic for the Beast.
You said goodbye to the family until like February and the Olympic break, pretty much?
Not quite that bad, but you know, obviously, you know, my head is going to be buried into a computer quite a bit, and we're going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of games. It's about time. I was actually looking back. So every time, you know, around Thanksgiving, everybody around the National Hockey League wants to, you know, really focus in on the U.S. Thanksgiving, because that's usually a time. Hey, if you're a team that wants to be in the playoffs, if you're in a playoff position at that point, the odds are really strong that you're going to make the playoffs. I don't think you can use that marker this year, especially for the Bruins, because A, the season started so late for the Bruins, and B, they've had so many breaks in the season. So if you go back to the last time that the Bruins played, I guess it was close to a full season, or it started as a full season back in 2019-20. If you go back to U.S. Thanksgiving, they played 22 games at this point. They've played 13 right now. They have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is. We talked about this actually on Morning Brew yesterday. Razor and I did. So a fan asked the question if we shouldn't use the line of, or the, you know, the Thanksgiving late November, and we both agreed, Judd, with what you're saying. I think it's something in the past, upwards of 80-something percent of teams that are in. But there's a lot of there are still exceptions, but I agree with you. Are you, concerned maybe isn't the right word. Remember last time the Bruins went into Philly, though, Bud, and they had a couple of days off? I know it was very easy early in the season. It was the second game. But they came out, and they were less than sharp, I think is a fair way of describing it, if you remember correctly. You know, hopefully this team, it's really not even a question, more of a statement, Judd. Hopefully this team just, I guess, got that one out of their system, and their sharpness tonight is there.
Well, I think looking back to that game, that was, what, the second game of the season for the Bruins, and they were down 3-1 at that point, but they rallied with goals in the second period from Taylor Hall and Brad Marchand. But that was also the one and only time that we have seen Jeremy Swayman put forth a rocky performance. The Flyers were able to break a 3-3 tie early in the third period after it looked so promising for the Bruins, especially because they were able to tie the game in the second period with, I think, about a minute left. Mm-hmm. But they weren't able to carry that momentum forward in the third period. I'll be interested to see what the Flyers look like here tonight. Kevin Hayes, who just recently came back, missed their last game the other night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. He certainly makes a significant difference. And we're going to see a Flyers team without Ryan Ellis in the lineup. And he's a guy who's been a difference maker, but he's only played 4 or 5 games this year.
What stood out to you in the couple of games last weekend? 5-2 win at New Jersey on Saturday, came back home and took care of business against the slumping Montreal team on Sunday, 5-2. What really stood out to you about those two games? Because the Bruins were kind of floundering going into that weekend.
Well, Ryan, it could have easily been a 4-for-4 week had they come up with a better performance in the third period against the Edmonton Oilers. But I think with those two games in particular, I think the wins against the Devils and the Canadiens to me stand out. And this was a conversation that Beersey and I had with Charlie Coyle after the game, that the Bruins, I think, last weekend started to reestablish their identity. Were they perfect games? No. But there was a simplicity to it. There were more straight lines. There were shots. There were rebound opportunities. They were able to get inside. And then when they had leads in crunch time, they were able to make it. Again, it wasn't perfect, but Jeremy Swayman came up with key saves at key times. The Bruins defensively came up with enough key plays at crunch time to not only preserve the win, but also help the team add on. And I think to me, that was the most encouraging thing that we saw on Saturday and Sunday against the Devils and the Canadiens. It was unfortunate that the schedule had them as 5 days off right after that, because you'd love to see if they could carry that momentum forward. Hopefully they're able to do that this weekend against the Flyers team that in many ways could be a team that you're competing with for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. If you look at the wild card standings, I think that this is a team that you want to finish in front of, and you're going to have a very difficult game, even though the Calgary Flames are in the same situation. I think the start that they have gotten off to and the style that they're playing, that's going to be a difficult game for the Bruins tomorrow night, too.
Yeah, it is. We'll look ahead to Calgary, but Daryl Sutter, he's got the guys playing definitely a physical and a consistent style. Judd, what's your vibe and on your take on Taylor Hall so far as we're 13 games in? It's a general question, but I'm just curious what your eye test is telling you.
I think there's been an uptick in his game here in the last few. Remember, it was maybe about a week and a half ago. Based on this schedule, it feels like it was probably in September. But remember when Bruce Cassidy sat Taylor Hall, mm-hmm. and he said that there were plays that were being made in the third period that he said, if you're going to play winning hockey, I don't care who you are, you simply cannot make those plays. And I think we've seen an uptick in his game. I think he's been around the puck a little bit more often. I think he's been playing more instinctive. He's been shooting the puck. He's been trying to get inside. I've noticed him a little bit more in more than just the offensive zone. So I think that his game is starting to trend in the right direction. But has he reached the level that we have seen last year when he came over from the Buffalo Sabres? Not necessarily, but I think he's headed in the right direction.
Charlie McAvoy had a huge weekend last weekend. 5 points in two games, had the two-goal performance against Montreal on Sunday. He was already had developed into an excellent player, but it has felt this year from the signing of the contract right up through where we are right now that he is kind of taking it to another level. Would you agree with that?
I think that I'm definitely seeing the same type of player, Ryan. I don't think there's any question. So McAvoy, with his first career two-goal game the other day against the Montreal Canadiens, I love the way he bowled over Nick Foligno, but he is shooting the puck. I don't know if I'm more excited about the two goals or the fact that he fired the puck 7 times on goal that game. But you can also see, I think, what Charlie has done at times this year has been to sense where his team is at and what they need from him at a particular time. Do they need a big hit to wake the team up and change some of the momentum? We have certainly seen that. I think he's thrown himself around a little bit more physically and asserted himself, which has re-energized the group at specific times. But I think you're seeing Charlie McAvoy, I think, more comfortable in his own skin with the position that he has and the type of player he can be. Listen, this was a guy last year who was 5th in the Norris Trophy voting, or he was in the team picture for the Norris Trophy voting. Forgive me if it's not 5th, but he was right around the top 5. I think that you're going to start to see a little bit more growth in a guy like Charlie McAvoy's game. And the other thing that hasn't necessarily solidified with Charlie is who he's playing with. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case this year. He's played a lot with Derek Forbert. He's played a lot with Matt Grizzlick. But I think that when Bruce Cassidy's able to settle on some pairings back on defense, and we're going to see a little bit of a change here tonight here in Philadelphia with Mike Riley playing, with Jakub Zabora playing on his offside tonight, I think that that will continue to help Charlie McAvoy as his game progresses this year.
Yeah, I don't know if Butch is going to be able to settle on D pairs this year, given that the crew, Judd. I'm thinking it's just going to be an ultimate toggling situation, bud, up and down, just given how it, unless they add, something to it and they change it. It seems like you're going to have a few guys in particular that go to different spots right there. Carter Hart, just real quick, because I know you touched already on Philadelphia Flyers just with regard without having Ryan Ellis there, which is a big loss for them. But Carter Hart has been a big gain for them this year after a very – difficult year, almost like I'm going to call it almost like Jake DeBrusque, admitting that that COVID and being young and being, isolated a bit played a big role in his struggles. This year, much different. I don't have it in front of me. I think he's at a 931 or 932 save percentage. It's been much, much different. Have you had a chance to go over his numbers and anything jump out at you?
I have. So he heads into the action tonight, 9th in the league with a 932 save percentage. I think the other thing that the Flyers have benefited from is they've got a backup who is performing the way they've expected. Martin Jones has come in and he's right behind Carter Hart. He's 10th in the league with a 931 save percentage. That was a huge weakness for the Flyers team. If you think back to last season, they were last in the league in goaltender save percentage. This year, I think heading into tonight's game, they are 3rd in the league in goaltender save percentage, but they do give up a lot of shots.
Yes, they do.
So I'm a little curious if they're able to going to be, if they will be able to sustain some of these numbers. The other thing is, because we've only seen the Flyers once, and I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of the Flyers games this year, where are those shots coming from? Are they just coming from the outside? Are they willing to allow those goaltenders, you know, hey, you take the 30 footer or the 40 footer. We're going to handle the things inside the house. So it's difficult for me to really gauge what kind of high danger chances they're able to stop. But Chuck Fletcher, the general manager, clearly felt that they had to change some of the makeup of the team, especially on the back end. They do bring in Ryan Ellis, who's hurt, but they also brought in Rasmus Ristolainen. And that was the type of right-handed force that they kind of needed on the back end.
Judd Surratt, he will have the play-by-play of the Bruins and the Flyers tonight, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock face-off here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go down some cheesesteaks. I know you're gonna, like three. Go get them.
Are you kidding? No way.
No.
That's maybe for an off day if I'm working on Pat and Geno's.
No, Pat's and Geno's are for the tourists, Judd. You got to find a good spot.
Actually, oh, there's a couple in South Philly that I'm definitely aware of. But, you know, trust me, you need an off day to be able to work that through your system.
What's that sandwich show they have? It's actually, I like the roast pork sandwich better with the broccoli rob and roasted garlic in it. That's the better sandwich.
Go to Tommy Dinick's.
Yes, that's the one.
Go to the public market here. It's spectacular.
We'll have a few of those. One of them for me, please. Those are the best.
Judd, appreciate the time. Have a good time down in Philly today.
All right. See you guys.
Judd Surratt joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We will talk with his partner, Bob Beers, coming up next as Billy Jaffe joins me in studio for the full 2 hours this week on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Bruins getting back to action tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. We just talked to Judd Surratt. Now we welcome in Bruins analyst Bob Beers on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, also joining us from Philly. What's up, Bobby?
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing well. All right, so before we get into what's going on with this team, I'm a Philly kid at heart. Flyers, you know, we saw the Flyers beat the Bruins earlier this year. Think back to when you were playing. How difficult was it to play in Philadelphia? How, you know, was it different than other road games that you would play? Is there a different type of atmosphere? We hear a lot about the crowds in Philadelphia. What was that experience like for you?
Wow. Well, it was the Spectrum, first of all, right? So it's a different arena. And when the Spectrum was still there, it's kind of funny. They built the new arena, and then the minor league team played in the Spectrum. But you fly in, you can see the complexes. They're all just outside the city limits, and you know, it's a baseball field, a football field. But it was so much smaller than the new building that they built. So that was it was a small arena. It was an intimidating arena to go play in. It was a fun atmosphere, no question about it. You know, I didn't play that long in the NHL, but the few times that I did play in Philadelphia, I really enjoyed it. And then I played there when I was in the American Hockey League, because that's where they were playing, and it was still a great atmosphere for those games as well. So I mean, Philly's a great town. I go back to the playoffs, you know, a few years ago, and it was a disappointment for the Bruins, obviously. But they've also beaten the Flyers in the playoffs, and always enjoy coming here and the atmosphere and the fans and everything else. And they've been booing them for the last few years, so it's good to see them kind of starting to turn it around.
Bobby, also putting on your former player's hat, and just in general, you know, the rhythm of every other or every 3 days so different than every five. And we talked the beginning of this show here, Bob. Like, all right, we'll get it out of our system today. We got to stop lamenting the schedule because it is what it is. But how hard is it, or was it, you know, to get in a rhythm, get out of rhythm, to come back into it again for a player when you're not playing frequently?
Yeah, well, I think, I don't know if it was last week or maybe a couple of weeks ago, we talked about it. And, you know, I remember going back and we had 4 or 5 days off in between games at one point in the season. And we did it, we treated it like a mini training camp. Mm-hmm. It was like we had 2 days. We were, you know, with a weight circuit in between, you know, and it fostered a lot of, you know, it kept the competitive juices flowing. Let's keep it that way, or say it that way, where, you know, guys were kind of going at it pretty good. A lot of battle drills, that type of thing. They, you know, the coaching staff wanted to keep us. It was Mike Milbury was, you know, the coach, and he wanted to keep us as sharp as possible. The Bruins at that time, so we're going back to the early 90s, were a good team. And he didn't want them to lose. He didn't want us to lose that competitive edge. And, you know, so they don't do that anymore, right? They took 2 days off this week, as a matter of fact. You know, it's a different kind of way things are done now. But so how tough is it for them? We'll find out today, right? If they're able to kind of snap out of it quickly. They just had a break, what, last week or 2 weeks ago? And they responded well. So, you know, let's hope that's the case here today. I mean, guys are sick of practicing. They're sick of seeing each other. They want to, you know, face another team. So, you know, you hope that translates into a good performance.
Let's talk about the defensive core for this team. Last weekend, we saw Mike Riley get sat for a couple of games. He'll get back into the lineup this week. They move Zboril over to the right side tonight and take Clifton out of the lineup. What did you think of those moves as Bruce Cassidy tries to figure out where all the pieces fit together here?
Well, you just said it. They're still trying to figure out. You know, you get past McAvoy, who's been outstanding. I think Grizz has been really good. Grizzlick's been really good on that left side. You know, Carlo's had his moments. You know, he's had he's been good at times, but, you know, he's also had some difficulties at times. So he's trying to play himself through that right now. And, you know, once you get beyond that, you're trying to figure out where all the pairs fit. I mean, Forbert's kind of done his job, right? Come in as a penalty killer and a defensive defenseman. Scored a couple of goals now, but, you know, he's provided that edge for you. But now it's, you know, where does everybody else fit? And I think that was a question coming into the season. I think it's still a question right now. I think we've seen Clifton respond after he's been sat, you know, once or twice. He's come back in and played really well. So keep Hibbs, you know, edge by sitting him out and see if he responds again when he does get back in there. Zboril's been okay. I think he's been fine. Now he's got him pop over to the right side. And, you know, there was a message sent to Mike Riley. Look, we need you to be the player that you were last year when you came in here and moved the puck and really helped us, you know, transition, getting going north. And it hasn't really been there enough for him so far this season. And message sent, you know, sitting the last couple of games.
Bobby, you think that's more for Riley in particular, more physical or more mental, or combo of both? Because it has been, in my opinion, very different intensity almost to his game, you know, a decisiveness to his game this year compared to the games when he came in last year, where he was really a much needed breath of punching puck through fresh air for the Bruins at times last year.
I see it happened once in a while with guys. They get security, job security. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a 3-year deal. I think it's a 3-year deal, yeah. $3 million a year. And I don't know, do you get comfortable, complacent? You know, maybe. You know, and this was a message to him that, you know, this job isn't yours. You need to earn it. And, you know, like, he hasn't been terrible. It's just he hasn't been the player that he was when they brought him in last year at the trade deadline. You know, I thought he was good for them. I thought he played well. He played up in the lineup, you know, during the playoffs because of some injuries that were there. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't had that same spark. So hopefully this is message sent to him. And I think Bruce Cassidy hasn't been – And the coaching staff hasn't been shy about sending a few messages. I mean, you know, whether it be Taylor Hall sitting down in, you know, the third period a few games ago, a couple weeks ago, you know, whether it be other guys taken out of the lineup, you know, Clifton, they're trying to keep that edge on him, you know, just trying to have that internal competition, right? That drives you and makes the team better.
We talked, and you mentioned it when we were talking about the defense here a few minutes ago about, you know, still trying to figure out where guys fit. And we talked a little bit about last week about the fact that Nick Foligno was going to move into that second line wing spot. Looks like that may stick for a little bit. Bruce Cassidy kind of hinted that may be something that he stays with for a little bit longer, even though Craig Smith's ready to come back into the lineup. Neither guy's exactly, you know, lighting the world on fire when they points-wise so far this year. But what do you think Foligno can add to that second line in particular?
Well, I'll give you the same answer I've given you right from the start of the season. I'm not sure yet, you know, because we talked about Coyle in that spot. You know, we talked about Coyle playing with Hall and Smith at the very beginning of the year before some of those injuries occurred. And I wasn't sure, you know, that line could work. So now it's Foligno on the right side. I'd like to see a little bit more of Oscar Steen, to be honest with you. I thought he was good when he was up, you know, played well as a fill-in there. But, you know, I don't know if he's the answer. I'm just saying that it's unfortunately he's a victim of numbers right now. But, you know, can Foligno be the spark on that right side? I mean, I think Bruce Cassidy talked about, you know, he's more vocal than maybe Coyle and Hall are. And, you know, he's hoping that he can bring some of that out of them, you know, a little bit. But I don't know how that line's going to look. I really don't. And I've thought that from day one. And I think that they're still kind of searching for that a little bit right now. You know, last week we were talking about the second and third lines, how they needed to be better. And, you know, Coyle ends up with a couple of goals last game. And, you know, I think he's played well since the beginning of the year. I just don't know if it's a good fit with the guys that he's playing with.
Third line, you just brought them up. I was going to ask you about that too. Do you have any better vibe on that line? I'll fully admit, I don't. I still don't.
didn't Cassidy say, because someone asked him last week about, you know, oh, Jake goes down to the fourth line. He says, well, I don't really see a third or a fourth line. I kind of see them equal right now. So, you know, he. So I assume you're talking about the Hall of and DeBrusk line and Smith. So. Yeah. You know, Smith's coming off an injury. He's had a whole week now to rehab, or you know, he didn't play last weekend. You know, so because of the break, you give him those 2 days off, you know, those two games off, and now he's got a whole week to try to get himself back to where he needs to be. And he's a valuable player. I mean, we saw him last year and, you know, how good he could be. And he's got that great shot. And, you know, if he's getting the opportunities, you know, is he getting the opportunities? I don't know what's hobbled him, but he wasn't getting the amount of chances or the quality of chances that we're used to seeing him get.
Nope.
So
nope.
We'll have to see where he is right now when he gets back in there.
Bob Beers joining us from Philadelphia on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Beersy, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, you too. I mean, you know, that's, you know, as we have had this week off and a chance to kind of catch a breather here, you know, part of the issue that we talk about with that schedule, Billy, is, you know, when you have these kind of starts and stops, and you've had Smith has been battling through an injury, Foligno has been, you know, out more than 50% of the time so far this season, that's been part of the issue with trying to figure out what this team is and where everybody fits, is there's no real momentum to be had anywhere. It's like when guys start playing well, you get days off built in and everything kind of resets back to where it was. You know, guy's been out of the lineup. Now he is, you know, 9 days off. He finally is going to get back into the lineup today. Can you start to build something and figure out what this team really is? I mean, you and I talked before the season started, and I asked you some questions about, you know, do you think this guy fits? Do you think that this, you know, new faces, how is this all going to fit together? And you said at the time, like, I'm not really sure.
Right.
And now here we are, we're, you know, more than a month plus into the season. It's like, we still don't really know what this team is because of stops and starts and, mix and match, and they're still trying to figure it out as much as we are.
Yeah, I still look up front, and I feel like that there's more good potential up front. It's that unknown concoction. That was the analogy that I used, you know, that your kid makes, puts something into the freezer or the refrigerator with about 8 different ingredients. And, you know, when they're really young kids, they're like, hey, try this, Daddy. And you try it, and every once in a while, it's like, this is delicious. What is it? And then most of the other time, you're like, ugh, you know. But you still try it because you're the dad, and you're like, you know, you want to keep them happy.
The only difference is on this team, they have a really good topping on, which is the first line. So that first bite generally tastes pretty good. It's just, what do you get after that?
Well, it's like you dig into the season. No, I know, we don't know completely just yet, but you got 8 games in 15 days coming up. See, to me, this is now, when I say the litmus test, of course it's March and April, really, but for to know what your team is, this is what we've got. We've got 2 weeks, and then I feel like, all right, you know, I think we have a much clearer picture. It's not abstract anymore. It's one of those vibrant, clear pictures that you can see up front. I'd like to think, and maybe this is wishful broadcaster thinking, that they get it going. Craig Smith needs to get it going. 19 shots in the 8 games. And yes, he has had 1 or 2 games where he hasn't finished, and he has been impacted by this nagging injury. But they need him. You know, he's a 5-time 20-goal scorer in his career. And you could argue between the 1920 and 2021 seasons that he was, if you extrapolate it out, he could have been been up there. So, but still, 520 plus goal seasons. He's a shooter. He hasn't been getting the same amount of chances. He hasn't getting the same amount of puck touches, looks, and they need that. I'd like to think a healthy lineup up front's good. You know, back, I'm not sure about that back end. Just not sure. And I know you got Zboril playing on the offside. He's played a fair amount of that, doing some investigation at the right side when he's in Providence, a lot on the right side. That's great. The NHL, though, is not the AHL. How's that for analysis? And let's see how it is. I mean, he and Riley, I look at that pair, and given that Riley has been, I'll use Bob's term, he's been fine, you know. I don't know. To me, that's a, is that a plug-and-play pair? Is that a, hey, you know what, offensive zone face-off, Jakob, you haven't been out there, go out there with McAvoy. And Riles, you know, you get a few shifts here. I don't know. I'm curious to see how he manages that pair tonight.
Well, we will talk more about that, more about the forwards. We haven't gotten into the goaltending at all. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up in hour number 2 as we continue with Billy Jaffe in studio with us until 11 o'clock on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Right now, time for you to pick up a little something. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line right now at 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card for Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop. Find them at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington, online at sportsetc.net. Again, 617-931-0985. Caller 10 will get that gift card. And, of course, we are here to take your calls in the next hour as well at the regular number. So we will continue here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on Boston's home of the Bruins, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.